You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
We hear about successes and fortunes most every day in one way or the other. But how often do you hear of someone whose passion is to guide high achievers to win in areas that money can't buy? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. I'm Kim Crable, always delighted to be your host in order to bring to you some of the most extraordinary people, their passions and what their stories are and what they're doing to make this world a better place. And boy, we all need that, don't we? But here's the thing. There's a lot of great people out there doing just that. And today we have one of those. We have a best-selling author who is also a dynamic speaker, a performance coach, and he has captivated global audiences while sharing the stage with people such as John Maxwell, one of my favorites, Dr. Oz, Tony Robbins. His transformative work is featured on ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, and his best-selling book, Red Key Revolution, which helps high achievers to win in areas that money can't buy. Today's guest, and you're going to love him, was recognized as a top 30 under 30 in the direct sales industry. He and his team, so he builds teams, has built and generated over $200 million in sales, and his strategic insights have been sought after by Fortune 500 companies, including giants like Nike, MasterCard, and Capital One. Now, I know you can't wait to meet this person, and so I'm bringing him on right now. Welcome to Coffee, Jordan Kemper. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, Kim, such an honor to be here. I'm excited to spend some time with you, and I've got my coffee ready to go.
There you, and I have my book ready to go, your newest bestseller, which I cannot wait to get into. And of course, we'll have a larger picture up before this goes into production. But Jordan, listen, I list all these things. And first, I have to give a shout out to my friend Ryan and Anna Bowers, who actually caused us our paths to cross. So how do you know them?
Yeah, so Ryan and I played arena football together, very short stint after college. We became good friends. Oddly enough, we were both casted to go on The Bachelor. And it's a kind of a wild story, but we were friends. And then he introduced me to Anna, and we've been friends ever since.
You know, Brian is just someone who is so, so special in our lives. And you'll know this because you're a dad. We'll get into this next. But as a parent, you try to find people that you want to mentor your child when you can't be there. Mm-hmm. Or maybe when you can be there, but they'd rather you not be there. You know, and so with boys, I've raised two boys. I always look for young men who I could build relationships between the two so that they could talk about guy things with them. And Ryan was one of those very special people who helped mentor both of my boys. And now I think they have such a strong friendship because my boys grew up to be men just like Ryan is. So they're great people. And it's so nice to actually meet you, Jordan. I've read about you. I've followed you. You're so inspiring, the things that you've done, your focus. So I cannot wait to get into this interview. So thank you again so much for meeting me here.
Yeah, so excited to be here. And again, love Ryan and Anna. I'm so glad they brought our paths together.
Absolutely. So, Ryan, Jordan, I talked about so many of the things that, I mean, I could go on and on. I gave this short bio of all the things you've accomplished, the things that you're doing, your heart, your passion. But you know what? I left out probably the most important thing in your life for you to tell us about, and that's your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm married. I have the most incredible wife, Kristen. We've been married for 8 years, and we have 1 4-year-old daughter. Her name is Kinley, and she is definitely the light of my life. So feel very fortunate to have the two of them. I'm originally from Illinois, but when I met my wife and got engaged, I moved down here to Florida, and I've been a part of the South ever since.
Mm. Do you love it? I bet you love it there.
Yeah, the fact that I can fish and golf year-round makes it pretty enjoyable.
Which are two of your personal passions, I understand.
Yep, I enjoy both of those. So love it down here, plugged into a great community, great church. Absolutely love living in Florida.
Absolutely. Well, what the other thing that you talked about that I think is you said that you wanted to make sure that you did whatever it took. You said guided by faith, you want to always inspire and impact lives, building God's kingdom with unwavering passion and purpose. What does that mean to you, Jordan?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in Illinois. My dad was a general contractor. And one of the things I appreciated about my dad was he built these custom homes that were absolutely beautiful. He always pursued everything with excellence. But what I remember as a kid is my dad being present, you know, him being there in the mornings, being there in the afternoons. And because he owned his own business, he got to prioritize family and not make any compromises based on what were of value to him. So I knew that no matter what career path I chose, I always wanted to maintain control. And I wanted to maintain control so that I could keep the first things first. And so I truly believe that pursuing faith in God, building relationships, impacting the lives of others. Yes, being successful and being fruitful in our efforts, but the whole motivation and stimulation for that is so that we can be a blessing to others. Mm-hmm. So to me, I chose the path of entrepreneurship, although not everybody's called to that path. I just believe that that was the path that I was called to. I'm called to be excellent at what it is that I pursue. And my hope is that I can make an impact in the lives of people that I work with while also impacting lives of the people that I get to serve in other ways.
I love that. I wanted to set that first and foremost, because the Bible does say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this other will be added unto you. And I know that your faith is so important. And so I wanted to establish that along with your beautiful family and then go into the others, you know, all this other that you're doing. You know, I listened to your trailer to this incredible book that I've just shared with, The Red Key Revolution. And we'll play that because it's such an incredible explanation, I think, of not only the book, but of life. Mm-hmm. But Jordan, you said something in there. You said, you know, what would it be like to wake up each morning? Do you wake up with the feeling that your life is meant for so much more? If so, you're not alone. What do you mean by so much more? Because I think we're all looking for more.
Yeah. Well, such a great question and a question I think we all need to be asking ourselves on a consistent basis. So this is what I'd like you to think about first. If success is about adding value to ourselves, I want you to think of significance as adding value to others. And so I see people that achieve high levels of success in their life, and they're still left feeling unfulfilled, unsatisfied. You know, they've got these check boxes that they continue to check off. I've done this. I've accomplished this. I've built this. I've made this much money. But yet they're still left feel like a void. It's like, I'm still not happy. I'm still not content. And so I talk about this in the book. I talk about the difference between happiness being a feeling and joy being a state of heart and joy being a choice. But I think even going deeper than that, I think what all of our hearts really long for is significance. And significance truly is it is a purpose. It is a fulfillment. It is something that comes with your ability to impact the lives of others. And so I think that it starts with leading yourself well. And as you lead yourself, then you equip yourself to be able to lead others. And so I think you start small with your family, and then you start with the people of work, And then you can start scaling to much, much bigger people in your community, your city, your state, your country. But I truly believe that ultimately what our hearts desire is significance. We are all wired to want to add value to others.
So true. Our theme this year in my nonprofit, our ministry, is More in 24, seeking the more. And I could not have said it. That is just a beautiful way, because that's really how we add significance. So this book is just amazing, with along with everything that you do. Which, let me, before we get into the book, Jordan, let me ask you this. What is it that calls you to such a high standard? I see everything you do. I see it's done as unto the Lord. Is that your theme? What is it? Because I see you're doing and then adding 10 or 20 or 30%. What is it? How did you get that? What put that inside you?
You know, that's a good question. You know, it's funny. You study those personality traits and Enneagrams. I'm that 3. I've always been an overachiever. I think I could probably go back to my childhood and probably figure out some of my development reasons for that. But I was always the underdog. I was always the shortest, a little stocky. I was my nickname growing up was Baby Cheek. So some of my peers made fun of me. But I played AAU basketball. I played at the highest levels. And so I felt like I kind of always had to outwork, outpractice, outthink, to be able to compete at high levels with my peers. And so I think I learned some of those practices as a young boy. And so some of those practices have just continued with me. So I wouldn't look at that as a bad thing. I'd look at that as like it was part of my development. I just had to outwork my peers in order to be able to play at that level. And so sure enough, in high school and even in college, like, you know, some of my classmates at Wheaton College were so intelligent, naturally gifted, that they could read something once and absorb it and understand it. I felt like I had to read it 3 times and I still didn't get it. So I just kept trying and reading it in different ways. And think, because I'm so slow to understand some things, I'm able to then retrace my steps on how I came to understand it. And I think that's what's made me a good teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm slow to understand some things, but I know how I got there and I can take others through that same journey.
Slow to understand, but quick to explain to others. It seems like, and that's a whole concept there that I love so much, Jordan, is that so many times when we feel a deficit, if you call it a deficit, or we feel a little behind or whatever, however you might project that, we can give up. As a matter of fact, you talk about this in the book. You can get better, you can get bitter. What was it? It's to the many who are listening today, who are going, oh my gosh, I know exactly what he's saying. I feel like I'm a less than. I'm all of these things that you talked about. What did you say to yourself during those times that just caused you never to give up?
So one of the topics I love to talk about is adversity. So I think one thing for all of us to understand is the storms of life are never going to end. But what we get to decide is how we respond to each of those storms. And so as I look throughout the course of my life, there were many storms, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, storms. I still have storms. But now nearing 40, I feel like because of life experiences and because of the storms that I've been through, now when I see a storm, I feel like I embrace the storm for what it is. It's an opportunity for me to grow. And so I think that's something that's very important that everyone can learn from. When I see a challenge coming, when something comes at me, I get to respond with frustration and bitterness and why God would you allow this? Or I can say, I don't understand this, but God's promises in scripture say that he works all things for my good. And so I'm going to see this situation, this challenging moment, as an opportunity for growth. And so just to make this very practical for everyone, my wife and I, at the time of this recording, we've now gone through 7 miscarriages. We had our precious daughter, Kinley. 2.5 years later, we were 12 weeks pregnant with what we thought would be our 2nd. And I'll never forget the doctor coming in and telling us that there was no heartbeat and that we lost that precious child. And Kristen and I were very hurt. There was a lot of pain in that moment. Sure enough, fast forward over the last few years, we've now experienced six subsequent losses. And so that happens to be my storm, Kristen's storm, something that we're going through. But my guess is everybody listening to this goes through their own set of challenges. And so because I spend time in God's word, I think so quickly of stories like, Sarah and Rebecca and all of these women that were struggling with fertility. I look at Joseph and Job and what they went through, being sold into slavery and prison and all the challenges. It's like constant examples in scripture. I could spend hours just showing you examples of all of these individuals that God loved and had big plans for, but they went through these challenges. And so in the moment, it's frustrating. But in the moment, I've trained myself to go, I don't see what God's doing here. And I can't connect the dots going forward, but I know that in the future, I'll be able to connect the dots going backwards. This is why that happened. This was that challenge. Oh, this is what I learned from that experience. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, my wife and I actually just completed our paperwork and we've opened ourselves up for the adoption process. And it'll be interesting to see what happens over this next couple of months. And it'll be fun to see, post this recording what happens. But let me say this, had we not gone through what we've gone through, would we be open to that process at this point in our life? Perhaps not. And whoever that precious child is that hopefully we get matched with, there's a high probability that God knows exactly who that child is and who we're supposed to be matched with. And we wouldn't be matched were we not going through the pain that we've gone through this last couple of years. So again, that just happens to be a practical example of my storms. Mm-hmm. But my guess is each person listening has their own set of storms. You just have to choose to respond to those storms as an opportunity to grow and become resilient.
Oh my gosh, Jordan. Well, first, I just want to say I'm so sorry for what you've gone through. That is that's a lot. And it's not just for the woman, it's for the mom, it's for the dad too. And it sounds like you all have really gone through that together. And that's always a good thing, just being able to be together, pray through it, and then come to some realization of what possible good could come from this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it takes a lot of pain to see a purpose in something. I can't wait to hear about the little person that becomes one of the Kemper family members, because what a blessed child that will be. So I will be praying, and I definitely want to hear how this story goes. Jordan, I think about that scripture, all things work out to the good for our good and God's glory. And I say to myself many times in the midst of really storms. Now, I can't say that I've been through that many miscarriages, so not trying to simplify anything at all. But one thing I do tell myself is I think about that promise and I ask myself, Kim, do you believe in God? Do you believe him? Mm-hmm. And if you believe him, then you know he's at work doing something right now. And so I think if it's not good, then God's not finished. He's still working. And so God is definitely working in your situation. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. So thank you so much for sharing that story for us. I know that wasn't easy. So thank you so much.
Yeah, happy to share it. Happy to share.
And a lot of people who are going through things right now can take great hope from that. So well, Jordan, let's get to this Red Key Revolution. This book is amazing. Your insights are amazing. But can you just tell me why it's called Red Key Revolution?
Yeah, absolutely. So got to go back a little bit in time. 13 years old, one Wednesday night, Rockford, Illinois, youth pastor on a Wednesday night. I remember the church. I remember the setting. I was sitting on on the carpet with probably 200 peers. And Pastor Brian was his name, gave us this challenging, convicting, really inspiring message about the importance of sexual purity. Now, as a 13-year-old boy with raging hormones, I kind of remember in the moment, like, what am I going to do with this information? But I remember just feeling like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in that moment, and I was feeling challenged. And so when Brian finished his talk, he went around the room and handed each one of us a red key. And that red key was simply a tangible reminder of a decision he was hoping we would make that day, that we would hang on to that red key, that we would remain sexually pure, and that one day the goal or the challenge was that we would hand that red key to whomever our spouse was. And I think most of the kids probably lost the key on the way out. I, being someone that likes a challenge, I took that red key home and I put it in a safe in my bedroom in this corner drawer where only I knew where it lived. And that's where that red key would live for 20 years. But let me say this. Throughout that 20-year journey, moments presented themselves. And I remember thinking to myself, no, I'm not giving up that red key. It's not worth it to me. I have to give this red key to someone. And I don't know who that someone is, but I'm not going to, trade what I want in the moment for what I want most. And so I decided to hang on to that red key. Fast forward 2015, I got the privilege of marrying my wife, Kristen. And I was able to hand her that red key that day. And when you see the pictures of tears coming down her face, I realized in that moment that the purest decisions in life are the decisions that we make on behalf of other people, even before we know their names. And so I didn't ever plan on writing a book. I didn't ever plan on telling that story, but I actually happened to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and I told that story for the first time actually with John Maxwell. And John and some of his team said, "You need to turn that into a book, Jordan." And I said, "I can't write a book. Are you nuts?" And so he planted a seed that day. And well, he's written 88 books as of right now, this recording, and I'm 87 more books to go. But I got one book done. And let me just say, it was a cool experience to kind of like reflect on some life choices. And so I want everybody to understand that although there are undertones of sexual purity in the book, that's not what the book is about. The book is really about pursuing a life of significance, because my sexual purity story just happens to be an example of unwavering commitment to something. Yeah. But every day we make decisions, every day we make choices. And so I challenge the reader to make red key choices in their life. And the hope being that by making enough red key choices, you can transition from a life of success to a life of significance.
Yes. And it is a powerful book. Let's talk about, you talk about the cuts of the key. Can you briefly explain that? Because I love practicality when it comes to the scripture or life. You know, give me a way to see how it can be played out in my life. Let me see how I can do it. That's what this book is, Jordan. You have made it such a practical way of meeting some pretty high standards. So why the key and why the cuts? What are some?
Yeah. So if you think about the way a key works, when a key goes to a key maker, they actually have to make grooves. They make cuts in the key. And if those cuts aren't done correctly, it doesn't unlock what it is you're trying to unlock. So in the pursuit of significance, what I encourage the reader to think about is that we're not looking to add more to our life, but oftentimes we need to remove things in our life to make room for what is significant. And so I have seven chapters in the book, and I call them the seven cuts. There are cuts that you need to make in your life. And by making some of these cuts, we make real decisions. And if you look at what the root word decision comes from, it comes from the Latin, like the word incision. To cut off from the possibility of anything other than that which you've committed yourself to. So when you make a real decision, when you make a cut, you are allowing yourself room to grow so that you can really position yourself to pursue those things that are significant in your life. And so, you know, one of the cuts, I don't want to spoil the book for you, but like one of the cuts is cut the selfie. And so I talk about that. And what is this selfie culture that we live in? And this culture of all about me, and how do I please myself, and how do I make myself happy, and how do I appear in front of others? You know, so I encourage the reader to think about cutting the selfie. So I'm not saying you can't ever take a selfie. Come on. But what I am saying is we need to turn the camera around and stop focusing on ourselves and start focusing on the other side of the lens. And the other side of the lens can be others. So how about you take your social media and you stop talking so much about yourself and start talking about those in your world, those people that have helped you get to where you're at, that incredible spouse, those incredible kids, that coach, that teacher, that parent. None of us is self-made. I can't stand hearing people say we're self-made. None of us is self-made. We've all had some people in our life that have helped us to get to where we're at. So start telling their stories. And I think some of the most gifted communicators, teachers, trainers, influencers on the planet, they're not constantly self-absorbed talking about how amazing they are. They are so quick to tell how amazing all the others are. And so that's just one example of a cut that you can make.
And they are so good. And I love the way you've written the book. You have the topic and then you have it broken down into the three H's. Talk to us about that very quickly.
Yeah. So I call it the three H's is head, heart, hands.
Yes.
So it starts with a mental understanding. Okay. There's power in knowledge and wisdom. It starts in the head and then it gets internalized when it moves to our heart. What does this actually, how does this align with our values? How does this align with our spirit and who we are and the purpose of why in which we were created? But if it stops in the head and the heart and it never moves to the hands, then we never take application. And so I'm a big fan of moving it to the hands, and hands means application. So at the end of each chapter, I don't leave you wondering, thinking about like, well, what was this chapter about? It's like, no, let's talk about what this means practically for you. So we go head, heart, hands, so that you can start to immediately apply that chapter in your life.
And then you ask if you want more, and then you guide. It's a very, I don't know, it's not simple, but you lay it out in a simple path for us to make some choices. It's beautifully written. I know how hard writing a book is, so good job on that. It's just such a tool. Jordan, you said something in the trailer that we'll be sharing, but I just love it. It says, as long as you have breath, the best is yet to come. Oh my gosh, how I just love that. See, that motivation, that inspiration, that looking toward a better day, I believe that's what Jesus is all about. You know, and you know, he says that glory be to me, speaking of him, glory be to God who by his power at work within us can do more than we could ever imagine or ever dare to ask. That says to me, there's so much more ahead of us than is ever behind us. So when you said that, that just struck a chord in my heart. So explain to me what that means to you, or what you want that to mean to our listeners today.
Yeah, so it's funny. When I sign a person's book, that's usually what I write. Oh. And the reason I write that is because I believe that this is, this is a state of heart. This is a mindset that one can have. Is your mindset that your best days are behind you, or is your mindset that your best days are ahead of you? That's a choice. That's a decision that you get to have. And I want people to embrace the mindset that our best days are ahead of us. And so I truly believe that for each person listening, no matter what you've been through what experiences you've had, good or bad, maybe you think to yourself, oh my gosh, if people only knew what I've done, there's no redeeming me. I'm too far gone. I've made too many mistakes. No, my friend, you haven't. And I can assure you, there are plenty of stories and people that I could point you to. It's the redemption story. It's the redeeming qualities that all of us need and have. And so embrace the mindset that your best days are ahead. And if you live with that mentality, now you show up differently in the world. You show up differently in your workouts and your nutrition. You show up differently in what you read and what you listen to. You become a student of personal development and personal growth because you want to grow yourself so that you can grow others. And you attract certain people in your life. And sure enough, I truly believe that causes your best days to be in front of you. And so as I think about my past, I mean, I've had some winning moments that were awesome, you know, and I like to reflect on those and be grateful for those. But in no way, shape, or form do I think any of those moments behind me were my best days. They were all teachable experiences that I can apply to the future. But I know that my best days are ahead of me, and I hope that everyone listening embraces that same mindset.
Oh, I just love that so much. I'm your greatest cheerleader when it comes to that. You know, the Bible says, come to me, ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We get so weary and burdened because of things that we, 45,000 thoughts we have going on in our mind, 90% of them are negative. We get so caught in that trap that we begin to believe what we're thinking, which is that the best is behind us. I love this, and I so believe it. I believe it's so biblically based. We just, like you said, it's the choice. It's the choice to put seek ye first, which takes us back to the beginning of our interview. But Jordan, there's so many things I'd like to ask you. So time is running out, but I do want you to come back at some point. But here's the way I'd like to end this. First, I'd like to encourage everyone to please find Jordan. We're going to put something along the bottom where you can actually sign up for some free material of his. I've just done that. You're going to enjoy that. He gives a lot away in this. It's called 10 Pillars to Be Unshakable. So we'll be running that across. We'll have his website. We'll have a lot. You hear he's a incredible motivational speaker. The book I want you to get. But I want to close on this, Jordan. I think that there are so many people out there that go, yeah, well, I know. I heard the trailer that said we have each opportunity. Yeah, I hear it that we can make choices. I hear what he says, but I'm just not buying it. I just don't even know that God cares for me anymore. I'm so tired of listening to all the happy mantras. You know, I there's a state of hopelessness in our world, Jordan. As a Christian counselor, I know the epidemic of loneliness. I know the epidemic of people, committing suicide, teen bullying that you're taught to. There's a sadness that is oppressing our world right now. Well, that's by intent. Greater is he who is in us, though, right? So as believers, we must form together to be able to present the hope. So I can't think of anyone else that would be better right now to speak hope into the lives of those who are listening, who are thinking, it may be good for everyone else, but I just don't know that it's good for me anymore. So would you close out our show with sharing some hope to those who feel so hopeless today?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting. So I'm often, I'm booked to speak to companies. And interestingly enough, the last company that asked me to speak, they said, can you talk about overcoming adversity and changes in management? And I thought, of course, I can handle that. But as I've talked to more and more companies, it's interesting that more and more people are feeling stressed, anxious, overwhelmed. So this is the way I want you to think about this. Anxiety and overwhelm oftentimes stem from having too many choices in your life, and you're not quite sure which ones to pick. Whereas hopelessness is a lack of choices. Hopelessness is almost like a depression. And so I think kind of recognizing the two of those. And so if you fall into either one of those camps, let me just say, first of all, rather than trying to like motivate and tell you something that's going to like change your thinking, I just want you to know that I have empathy for you. I recognize those feelings, those emotions. Mental health, anxiety, overwhelm, depression runs in my family. And so I know it very well. I just want to be empathetic to your situation, but I want to offer hope. You know, we have to understand that there is spiritual warfare going on in this world. And there is a battle that we cannot see. And it's the battle between good and evil. It's this battle between Jesus, our Savior, and the enemy. And so a lot of the things happening in this world, God allows to happen, but I want to be very clear, he doesn't cause these things to happen. We live in a sinful, broken world, and the enemy is seeking to devour each of us. And so as Kim so eloquently just said, we have to rally together as believers. We have to strengthen and encourage each other because there is a war going on. And so as we become better at unifying together and strengthening one another as a community, I think that's where we start to overcome these feelings of hopelessness, anxiety, overwhelm, and the mental health issues that continue to rise. And so I want to encourage you with just a couple of spiritual disciplines. every day, I just want you to go for a walk and be in nature. Just look up at the sunlight, like let the energy of the sun just fill your spirit and just recognize that there is some greater, bigger, something created the sun, something created the land, something just recognize the fact that there is something greater than you. And then I want to encourage you, if you feel led to, like start just reading a little bit of the Bible each day. I love the 1 year Bible. I read it 15 minutes a day. And by reading that, it allows me to read the whole Bible every year. So just little bite-sized chunks. And in each one of those little bite-sized chunks, I learn something that encourages me and transforms my mind and helps me to renew my thinking for that particular day. Another thing that you have to learn how to do is when you start feeling that hopelessness and that anxiety, one thing that you can do is you can just turn on some worship music. Just tell Alexa to turn on Brandon Lake or Hillsong or Phil Wickham. Just like learn to be in the presence of God. Invite the presence of God. Even when you feel sad or overwhelmed, just invite the presence of God into the room with you. And if you can't say anything, just listen. Just listen to the worship music. And so these are little practices that I deploy into my life that when I feel those feelings that everybody feels, man, it starts to change my state. It starts to change my heart, and it allows me to start operating differently. Because I want everyone listening to understand something. You and I, Kim included, we all experience the same thoughts, the same temptations. They enter into our mind, but the question is how we handle that. Yeah. And that's something that we can learn to control. So get into the presence of God, start renewing your mind and renew your thinking. And if you can start to do that a little bit, patterns each day, you'll start moving in the direction of being able to handle adversity better. And so if you feel those feelings of hopelessness, recognize it for what it is. It's just a thought. That's all it is. It's a thought. So I go, huh, that's an unhealthy thought. It's not a healthy thought. It's an unhealthy thought. So what am I going to do with it? I recognize it for what it is. I don't try to like push it down and suppress the feeling. I recognize that it is a true feeling that I have. And then I deploy one of my tools, a walk, a prayer, a worship song, a little reading, a little affirmation, something to transform that thought. And by doing that consistently enough, those hopeless thoughts start to go away and you start to have less and less of them. So I hope that encourages you, my friends, to be encouraged and to know that all of us have those thoughts, but with the right action steps, you can start to think differently.
Oh, Jordan, that is so wonderful. I can't even thank you enough. And I know people were writing notes and what I want them to do now is to grab this book. Thank you so much for your heart, your passion. Thank you for the way you speak into the lives of others. You know, I'll conclude this with the back of Jordan's book. It says, have you or someone you know ever stood at the crossroads or been at a pivotal moment in life and wondered which way to go? He says, the words of Jordan Kemper, remember, we can all start over. Jordan, thank you so much for directing us, by letting us know we're not alone, by showing us that we have a choice, and that next choice can be the beginning of a brand new life. Because if we do have a breath, the best days are ahead. Jordan Kemper, I just love you so much. Can't wait to meet your wife, that sweet little girl, and this new addition that's on the way. Thank you so much for your time, your love, and just for being who you are.
Thank you, Kim. It was such an honor to be with you and your listeners today.
Absolutely. And we'll see you again sometime soon, I'm sure. Bye, Jordan. And for you who have joined us for coffee, I told you, isn't he just amazing in his words? You see, it's one thing to be able to say the words. It's another thing to be able to feel that it's from the innermost parts of someone's being, that passion. And that's what draws us to really not only believe in God, but to believe the hope that's out there before us. So friends, again, you'll see all the information on our book, on our website. You'll see it, Red Key Revolution, Jordan Kemper. Grab yours, grab two, and give one to a friend. Well, thank you so much for joining me right here at Coffee. Remember, coffee is a conversation that starts between friends of all faith to encourage and equip. We've started a really good conversation here today. I hope you'll go out and continue with your friends. Look forward to seeing you next time, friends. Bye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.org. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.org.